You are listening to Journeys with Rebecca Radio with your host, Rebecca Jerninger, your tour guide into discoveries. Coming to you live simulcast from the heart of America to around the globe via the World Wide Web, terrestrial radio, satellite, and podcast. Let's journey together into the realms of the unknown to the known in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Hello and good evening and welcome to Journeys with Rebecca with JP this evening. I'm broadcasting from the north of Scotland, from the brain of Britain, as opposed to the heart of America. We are tonight joined by our charming producer, Kat, and my guest tonight is a gentleman I met actually through various people through Rebecca's website and listenership, and his name is Jay Larson. I've spoken to him on another show earlier, but this evening we're going to be discussing more of the same, and kind of maybe going a little deeper into it as well. So, Jay, are you there with me?
Yes, I am.
Excellent, excellent. How are you doing?
Excuse me? Just got out of the hospital last night. I've been up for a little over 24 hours.
Oh my gosh. What's up?
COPD. I had an attack, ran out of medicine, so I had to go to the emergency room. They treated me for about 2 hours, and I'm back to normal. I heal very quickly. You know, it's this energy we're going through nowadays. Everything's very quickly done.
What's COPD? That's true.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Oh, right. So it's a breathing thing.
Yeah, breathing problem. When it gets bad, I take care of it right away so I don't have to have a extended hospital stay for 10 days or so.
Yeah, that's not the place you want to hang out, really. Hospitals, very, very unhealthy places, really. I try not to go there. Actually, I try, the only thing I like to do is that there is work at a hospital rather than actually be a patient there.
Oh, I kind of like
that. I haven't got that kind of patient.
You know, with all these new student nurses coming in and they want to check your blood pressure and stuff and you smile. You know,
surely that will...
Yeah, it's fun.
Surely that will alter the blood pressure a little bit.
Mine's high all the time anyway.
So have you actually used any of your devices on yourself during this period, or would you say that in a way you've kind of overdone it with some of the?
Well, the devices I've used and what it does. It's like a ascension amplifier. It's gonna cause you to go through your crap a lot quicker. You'll have to face your crap. You don't get away, but it loosens it up where you can get at a lot of it quicker. But you still have to deal. You still have to deal with your judgments and all your emotions that you've repressed and stuff, and it comes up a little easier, and a lot of times I can, not even if I don't have my breathing medication, you know, like asthma sufferers have to have albuterol with them because attack can kill, if you got bad asthma, attack can kill you, you know, you can stop breathing. I got basically much the same problem, but it's a more chronic problem but I've been releasing it little by little, but you know it don't all come up at once, so I still have my problem, but I can release what makes itself available and go deeper later on.
So this is not coming up in, yeah.
As a healing device, it helps. It makes my body full of energy. But the drawback is, as you raise your frequency, you've got to deal with your lower frequency stuff that's housed in your body and in your subconscious. You know, it's not a free pass. You still earn your way. You have to still do the work. You still do the work. It's just assists you where you get, do the work a lot quicker. But you have to take care of stuff.
So presumably you're not running the thing 24/7. You've got to give it a little pause for things to resettle.
I usually run it twice a day on myself and on the satellite picture out of the entire planet. So it'll affect off the entire planet. I alternate basically the Earth frequency to help people adjust and develop a natural frequency coding to the Earth that they lose because of all the extra high-level radiation we're getting from everything from radio, television stations, Wi-Fi, and HARP. It will synchronize you back to your natural state since evolution on this planet is basically dealt with and is propagated by this Earth's magnetic field. So what I do is set the scalar wave into you because then it quantum entangles and you become more and more resistant to Wi-Fi and other things that are normally harmful to you.
So by having your own by having Earth frequency, your sort of immune system is boosted because you're kind of expressing outwards rather than allowing inwards.
Not only that, it also helps intuitively connect you more with the entire planet and everything that lives on it.
So that's not bad. So now I put a few things in the rubric for the program tonight, just so that we could have a sort of a nugget upon which to crystallize. One of the things that, we start off with scalar energy, and people are going to be talking all over the place in the next few years about this device is this and that device is that, this device is like tachyonic and scalar and all this stuff, and our listeners need to know what's good stuff and what's BS. So the best thing is to know what it is and what is scalar. What does it mean and how do you know if it's scalar or if it's not scalar?
Okay, what a scalar wave is a transverse wave that travels over the speed of light. It's very fast. It acts almost instantaneously. You can set off a scalar beam, and it'll be across the galaxy in the next moment. That's how fast it moves. Tachyon beams are basically, tachyons are particles, but they're particles that move above the speed of light and faster. So you could consider something over into the fourth and fifth dimension, the particles that are used to build your fifth dimensional bodies and the environment around are basically a tachyon type particle in relationship to regular particles that we have.
So in a way, you could say that you're dealing with extra dimensional particles when you're dealing with tachyons and extra dimensional waves when you're dealing with scalar. Is that right? And we've lost Jay. I love it. Maybe somebody pointed a scalar beam at him. Doopy doopy doo. There, no, nearly, yes. Cat, are you there? It's trying to connect. Yeah. There is a sound that is coming back from the Revolution Radio, thing I can hear in my headphones. It's a kind of rumbling sound, but let's hope that we'll get Jay Larson back on. So we were talking, so he says it's a longitudinal wave, and a wave that applies itself instantaneously, like it doesn't travel like the speed of light. It propagates in every place instantaneously. So it's beyond time, so it has to be therefore out of this dimension. So we're still trying to get Jay back on this call, so let's see if I can bring him in. Actually, can you do that for me, Kat? Just drop in then pick him up. Yeah, thanks very much, love. Yeah. There we go. Lovely. Thank you, my dear. Yeah, so there is a sound that's coming off the Studio B mic, if you're ever going to hear this. There's a sound that's coming off the Studio B switchboard, which shouldn't be coming back. We're still waiting for Jay coming back. He's probably been nuked by... where are you? Where are you, my friend? Where are you? There's only a quarter in. No, cool. So... he's off the call. Kat, are you with me? Speak to me. Yeah, go on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was double muted, so I forgot that I had my...
That's...
I thought I had just the one mute on, but I had two, so I missed the second one, and I'm sorry. I've seen this happen before where it appears that the person is online, but they're not actually online. I have that problem with Lady Horse every once in a while. So It may be that he was bumped offline. And if he hears us, he needs to disconnect from this call so I could pull him back in. So the way I told you guys to leave the server or the conversation earlier, the first one that we made, he needs to do that, and then I can pull him back in. But
I just have a message from a friend of Jay's, Dave. His cable modem has been malfunctioning. Expect periodic disconnections. Thanks very much, Dave. Excellent.
Probably so, going online, he's not really available right at the moment. So let me try it again.
He should be back. We're just waiting for Jay. So longitudinal waves as opposed to latitudinal waves, as opposed to, we'll have to find out what that means. But what we're talking about is something that happens instantaneously, therefore is not bound by the rules of light. So it's a non-electromagnetic thing, because only light derivatives, as in electromagnetic waves, can be limited by the speed of light. If you're not traveling, if you're not talking about light, then you're talking about something else, then the rules may not apply. And it appears that that's the way it goes in terms of time, in terms of speed. Speed only happens if there's time. If there's no time, then you don't have speed. It's instantaneous. Which is, you know, it's one of these things that, you know, is tricky to get your head around. Something that is not instantaneous is our connection with Jay Larson, over there, in, I think he's in Phoenix in Arizona. So It's it's not, the problem isn't, doesn't seem to be Skype, it seems to be his modem, so we'll see. Had to reset modem. Yes, join the call and all will be well, Jay. Come on, just pick up the phone. Yes, welcome to Rebecca. Meanwhile, Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio are both listener-supported stations, so do go around and find the little button that says donate and do something with it. Click it and put some numbers in. Doesn't have to be anything that hurts badly. Just put a few numbers in, and we'll see how we can survive in these coming times. I think, you know, people are going to need us. All the information that we've been giving out, this is the time that we've been giving it out for. So if you haven't got it by now, well, good luck. Oh, yes. So Jay's still rebooting, and hopefully... You've no idea how many times his picture's kind of popped up on the Skype call and then dropped back down again. Yep, gotta love live radio. Okay, this is great. Yeah. You okay, Kat?
I'm still trying to get him to join the call. All he needs to do is hit join call at the top of the chat. There should be he should see our pictures there, and there should be join call.
Let me see if I bring him in this end. To call, please pick up. Maybe he can't see it. Maybe, yes. Calling you. Do love live radio. Yeah, Fringe. Hey, Kat, do you watch Fringe?
No, actually, I don't have time to watch TV. I record Under the Dome because my daughter insisted that I really need to watch it, but I haven't really had much of an opportunity to keep up with that. And I used to watch Falling Skies, but I haven't had time to keep up with that either. So right now, if I turn on the TV, it's because something big happened and I'm looking for the news. Now I'm just showing that Jay just went offline, so we'll need to go back on and then we'll put him in. I think that's what needed to happen, was for him to go off and then come back. But we'll get it going, so, JP. We will.
We'll get it going. JP, Jay Larson, on Journeys with Rebecca. This is the way it goes. Let's see if I can add some content. What have I learned about the stuff? Well, basically, Jay's been researching scalar energy and has come up with a very, very simple device that enables you to generate scalar waves. There he is online, so maybe he's coming online again. And it gives you the opportunity to generate scalar waves and also set an intent. There you are. So, setting intent.
Yeah, it wasn't the modem this time. This time it was Skype. I had to shut off Skype and reboot it.
Thank you very much anyway.
Oh, boy. Okay. Basically, tachyon are actually particles that move over the speed of light, and they can interact with regular matter, causing changes in frequency. In our matter, where you can use there are geometric patterns can collect tachyon particles, and part of the ancient Egyptian technique was to build geometric patterns for or capture of these things and use their bodies as tachyon receptors as well. And they had built walls in Egypt that were scalloped out for human beings to put their backs against the walls, and the field of force created by all the people's backs against the wall helped keep invaders out of the city. Created a force field around the city where they couldn't get their, wouldn't knock their walls down or anything. So it has, there's a lot to be discovered that very little know about it. The last person I read anyone that talked about tachyon particles was Patrick Flanagan. You ever hear the name Patrick Flanagan? He's the one that built the Neurophone and a number of pyramid devices that used magnets to help amplify the pyramid, and he had a little device that he built. It was about six by six bunch of little pyramids for producing pyramid energy, which you could charge objects and stuff with. A lot of this stuff was from his earlier work.
His earlier work? What you mean, in the previous life?
No, in this life. I think he's dead now. Patrick Flanagan died a couple years back. But he not only built the Neurophone when he was 17 years of age, but
he built the what?
A Neurophone, where you can electrically send impulses and actually hear sound inside your head, stereo sound inside your head from it. It was a device to transmit sound through the device as an electrical signal, which the brain could pick up and translate it, and made it was more glorious type of music than you could get from your ears even. Now, when he later worked with running these things where it had multiple people using it, he found that the carrier wave created sort of like a telepathy among the ones that were using the Neurophone, which means the carrier, everyone was induced to a certain ultrasonic frequency, usually around about 100,000 K. And what happened was that they became telepathic with each other, and they could think thoughts to each other while they had this thing on and were connected to each other. So basically, you could basically do the same thing with these scalar waves. If they're strong enough, you can create a resonance with everybody. Well, I thought the easiest way would be to take the Earth frequency, since it's the most natural frequency, and create a scalar wave and bombard everybody with it. But I'm using just a low power device. You may have to use a much more powerful device to induce telepathy in everybody simultaneously.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Well,
but well, there might be some people who might not appreciate being transparent all of a sudden.
I can think
of a few situations, like everybody.
Well, some people will be embarrassed, some people will be ashamed, and some people won't be able to get away with the stuff they've been getting away with. Yeah, you know, it puts a stop to being fake. You have to be yourself.
So it would enforce authenticity.
Right, and integrity, too. tug.
Is that possible for one person to send a beam to make the whole world telepathic?
It should be. I don't know how strong I would have to make the scalar wave, but I imagine at Earth's frequency, if you would a stereo amplifier would probably be strong enough to do it. At least localized, you know, if you add, and you were injecting this right into the, say, the grid lines itself, or it's transported all around the world through the grid lines, it would have a tendency to affect everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually interested in healing the planet itself. You know, from where I am, because I believe that I'm in a particularly interesting spot, that I've been led to here. I had a fellow bending my ear for 3 hours this evening telling me about how interesting this spot was, and that it was an ancient battle site, so it really needs some healing. And it turns out to be where I stay is the last part of Britain to stand before the Roman Empire completely overwhelmed Britain.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to remember a lot of...
With the last empire.
The Roman Empire didn't stay long up in Scotland, and they built Hadrian's Wall to protect them from the race. Because they never really conquered Scotland.
Well, it turns out that after all the rapings and the murderings, the generation of children that were born from these pillagings and rapings turned out to be the best resistance fighters you can imagine, and they pushed the Romans back.
Right.
It was the children of them, and he was saying that that's the story, that his name was, that they were, Pendragoon, the Pennant of Dragoon, and they were the Dragoons, and, you know, long story, and I can't remember half of it, and he'd insist on telling it to me, without me recording it. You know, I record things. You know, that's how I remember things. That's my memory. And it helps me to share my memories with everybody. But he's one of these weird fellows. Anyway, we're going to get him on. His name's Tree Paul. My Facebook Facebook friends would know that I'm talking about this fellow who's been... He was done as a terrorist, right? He's Mr. Harmless Hippie, right? Eccentric. Right. And he was done for talking about having a seed bomb. Yeah, a seed bomb.
Yeah, to grow plants.
A bag full of acorns. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry seeds.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, that's just one application, but it would be a good one because, you know, it's like this, the light hits dark places, there's no longer any dark places, everything's shown. And that's basically what we're working on it in all different levels. We got people that are, telling when the government doing wrong, at risk to themselves, because it's gotten to the point where it's not going to be tolerated. You know, with Edward Snowden and others, Bradley, Manning and others, more will come out each day, and we will eventually clear this world of its, psychopaths, basically. But, the psychopathic behavior is taught. It's not something that's in the genes. It's they've been abused, and and they pass the abuse on to the next generation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that becomes a kind of a generational PTSD situation. And I think this is one of the things that really needs to be healed, is this divided personality.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think scalar devices can help with the reintegration of the fragmented human being? Because, you know, we know about the people who have been deliberately split, but there are countless hundreds of thousands who have been, well, when I say accidentally, is a generational thing. And the abuse goes down from one parent to the child, and from the child to their children, and et cetera. And it's got to stop. So, we need to be able to heal that. So, would you have a method for working on that kind of, issue there, Jay?
Not as yet. I'm just coming up with new ideas every day with it, but when you're working with scalar waves, most people, unless you're up right up against them, you can actually feel the wave in your palm and stuff, much like as if you take a crystal and move it above your palm, you can feel the energy coming from the crystal. It's a lot more intense than the energy of a crystal, though. But for most people at distances, this energy wouldn't be noticeable except to the subconscious. But, we can help bring up the information. And with people that have cleared a lot of the stuff of their own stuff out, can help these people, showing them techniques of how to get into themselves and, how to become not judgmental towards themselves, how to love themselves, and how to forgive others for everything that's happened, because it's just experience like anything else. The soul gains experience from all different aspects in the vibration, not just the good aspects. Without being abused, you couldn't have sympathy for one that is abused, or compassion. It's a learning experience. And we've all went through it. We both played the light path and the dark path in numerous of lifetimes. I can remember my last lifetime, I was a Nazi officer. I was one of the ones on the German submarine that went into the inner earth. Afterwards, when the Germans, Heinrich the Hangman was being nasty to these people, hanging slave labor and stuff in factories and things like that, I gave the information to the German underground, and they ambushed him, and I was killed because I was in the car with him at the time. Even a good person can get caught in the darkness, because there's a lot of times a line that's drawn, and after that line is drawn, there's no escape, so to speak. You're sort of stuck with it, and it depends on what you do while you're in that period and what you can accomplish for others. That dictates basically what you are, if you're service to self or service to others. But we learn all kinds of lessons.
So we do. Very wise stuff there, Jay. I'm having terrible trouble with my headphones tonight. That's right. Where we got disturbed earlier on was I was asking the question about how do we know if something truly is scalar? How can we tell You said something about you can feel it in your arms. How would you categorize that, those feelings? How else can you tell?
On the internet, just there's numbers sites like KeelyNet, and they show how to build a scalar detector. And what it is, it's a device that's in a shielded object, you know, magnetically shield. And what it is a neon tube that is adjusted to just below threshold. In other words, just below the voltage that's needed to cause the neon tube to light up. Now, when it crosses into a scalar field, what happens, it gives that extra energy that causes that neon bulb to go over threshold and light up. So they do have electronic devices. They've had these devices since the 90s, these scalar detectors. And put on KeelyNet.com is a good site to go to, and they have actual plans for building these scalar detectors. Another thing with scalar radiation, if you take a scalar beam and put it to a copper wire, or even a steel wire, it'll change the resistance of the wire. The wire will drop in resistance. There'll be less resistance. So you can.
Is that like superconductivity?
It gets towards that direction. More like you can take and measure with an ohmmeter a piece of copper wire. It's better with steel wire because steel wire has a higher ohm value. Then what you do is take your scalar device and radiate it for a couple of minutes onto your piece of steel wire, and you can take a measurement with your ohm meter and see the difference. And it'll keep a reduced resistance for about 2 or 3 weeks. But you can only use it once. Yeah.
It doesn't happen again. So it's something to do with the rearrangement of the atoms or something?
The energy flow or something. But what it does is decreases the resistance. It could pair up the electrons in some way where it makes them flow easier without building up heat. Because that's all resistance is sort of blockage to the flow of current.
Stuff in the way.
Mm-hmm. But those are the two easiest way of building detectors. Now, there was a Grabichaw, which was a Russian scientist. Basically, he studied insects. He's the one that made the levitating platform. The best way, he said, for producing a scalar wave detector of sorts is to take a spider's web strand and connect it to a piece of straw. And if there's a scalar field around there, it'll cause that piece of straw to spin in a vortex, you know, a vortex-type spin. And you can also do it, make a scalar wave with fishing line and a heavy weight and a swivel. And what you do is you place the heavy weight on the swivel with the fishing strand, and the heavy weight is to stress out the fishing strand almost to breakage. And when it's at that point, it'll pick up these waves very quick and cause it'll start spinning. has to do with the internal stress forces upon the strand that causes it to spin when it's in a scalar wave.
So that's one of the effects that scalar waves have on things. So you use the word longitudinal wave. So can you explain that to a simpleton like myself?
Well, they vary in intensity of the electric field and have no magnetic field. And now there seems to be also a magnetic counterpart of this type of wave as well. The electrical part, a scalar wave, is much like what Reich would call Orgorn energy. It's an electrical. It has electrical characteristics. But odic force is basically the magnetic type of that same type of energy, where you have a transverse wave, but it varies in magnetic intensity, but not, it has no electrical intensity.
Right. So how'd you produce one of those?
Well, that's complicated. I've seen, they have the design on KeelyNet, and I believe they also have it on the other one I gave you. But it basically, it used a magnet in it, and it had a way it separated, had two plates and a certain way to process it, because there's a number of frequencies in it. And let me check that site if I got it here and get the address for it. Oh, Rex Research. That's a good site to go to. RexResearch.com and KeelyNet.com. Those will have odic force type devices on there as well.
So you've got odic force, which is magnetic but without electric, and scalar force, which is electric but not magnetic. Is that correct?
That's correct. And both are not normal in the third dimension. In other words, we're not used to using that. Now, with the studies of odic forces were basically done with crystals and things. So there may be some correlation that certain types of crystals and things have this magnetic force more than an Orgorn type force. Now, Orgorn energy is basically, if you ever notice, the early types of Orgorn devices were made, were a separation much like almost like a capacitor plate, where you had a number of layers, where you'd have things like steel, a metal plate, then you'd have steel wool, then you'd have some sort of insulation material and wood and what have you to make an Orgorn plate. Now, basically, it's built similar to a capacitor. Now, some of these free energy devices like what they call that, the Joe cell. That's basically an Orgorn device where once you get it charged up, it'll produce. It will produce Orgorn energy. And what a lot of people do is they take these Joe cells and they electrify them enough to produce the argon energy that which collects in the water first, and they use it for their own drinking water.
Yeah, I've heard about the Jocelle, and I did hear about this phenomenon years ago. I've been reading Nexus magazine since the 90s, or maybe even since the 80s. Have you heard of Nexus?
I'm not sure. You got
Nexus. It's an Australian magazine. It's a kind esoteric stuff.
Yeah, they have all kinds of stuff on Nexus, but I don't keep up with everything.
I remember the Jocelle from many years ago. And I remember it, that they were talking about this phenomenon that they would run the thing and then they would switch off the power and it would still keep the engine running because it had somehow charged up enough that it was just splitting the water and producing hydrogen without any power anymore.
Well, actually,
so
it wasn't.
This was an all-gone process? What went on there? What's going on there, Jay?
It's not splitting hydrogen. You get a little hydrogen produced when they electrify the water, but very little. It's argon energy that's going into the engine. Now, that electric spark in the engine causes an implosion. When you get an electric spark in argon energy, what it causes the air around it and stuff to implode into it. So, in fact, what I think the government has been doing is making explosives by energizing it with basically explosive material in a solution with argon energy, and they recrystallize the explosive. So when it detonates, it causes an implosion instead of an explosion. And a couple buildings in Iraq and Afghanistan seem to have went into implosion and not explosion through some sort of weapon.
Yeah.
So they've
we've seen that before as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Dave seems to want me to accept this file, which means I'm going to have the stupid Skype sound coming on. Why insist on, I have this, well, I'm presenting a radio program to several thousand people. You need to make it available to everybody, Dave, somehow. But, what's in the file?
I'll take a look. That's the only way I can do it. Hold on.
Yeah. So I've asked him to upload it to Google Drive and then share a link in the Revolution and Wall Spirit chat rooms. If you can, Dave, thank you very much. And this is presumably some information about scalar energy.
I don't know where this. I don't know where this is from. I can't verify it personally.
All right. So Dave is going to upload it and share the link, so he can do that sort of thing. Good, good. That's great. So it can cause things to implode. It causes the An implosion, create a vacuum?
Yes, and that's how, that's why they changed the angle of dwell on the distributor to cause the engine to run on vacuum instead of on combustion. So
it's got a pull rather than push, hasn't it?
Right, and the exhaust is cold. It's anti-entropic in nature. It's like a time reversed. it moves in the opposite direction of time. You got time forward and you got time reverse. Well, negative electricity is time reversed, or instead of being time forward, and so is Orgorn energy, is a time reverse function. So how Orgorn energy heals, basically, is it reverses the aging process of the cellular tissue, because it's moving backward into time instead of forward into time.
So time is a function of electromagnetism?
You have both directions, but it can be, time can be influenced by electromagnetism. It can be affected by electrical or even magnetic, as in a pulse type function usually. There's still a lot to explore on that, though. Tesla's devices, he was working with negative energy, basically. The more load you put upon it, the more energy you could pull out of the unit, because negative electricity does just the opposite of normal electricity. There's no, first of all, negative electricity has no resistance to it. And the more load you put on it, what it does, it absorbs the energy right out of the atmosphere itself to run the device. So the more load you put upon it, well, it pulls the ambient energy out of the atmosphere to run the device. So the more load you put on it, it absorbs more energy, and the ambient air around you cools down. Same with the SEER generator, does the same thing. It chills around the SEER generator if you build it correctly. The ambient air cools down considerably to what it was beforehand, before you run the device. And the SEER device produces also forms of anti-gravity as well. One of the experimenters, Boyd Sweet, had the AVT device that he built. After running, if it ran over 500 watts, it started losing mass.
Okay, we'll be back a few minutes time with Jay. Journeys with Rebecca, tonight hosted by JP, and my guest tonight is Jay Larson. We are talking about scalar, which is fascinating. It's the way of the future. How come we weren't taught this in school, Jay?
I thought they had enough problems teaching us the ABCs, personally. I was never one good to learn by rote anyway. It's too boring. You know, you just it's just repetition on things. What they want, all school is for us back then is they're trying to produce a norm that they can live with so they can have their slavery society.
So, it's a tool for freedom, because not only does it have an effect on the mind, but like the Force, your mind can direct scalar energies. That's correct, isn't it?
Well, that's what psychic energy basically is some form of scalar wave function. It's just the scalar wave, whatever frequency you're using, and whatever you're imprinting on that scalar wave with intent, your intent causes things to happen. If you call it manifesting stuff, or if you call it casting a spell, it's basically the same type of energy the body produces, as well as electronics and even geometric objects produce some form, or not really produce it. You could say it geometric form collects this type of energy, much like pyramids, spheres, even square blocks will collect the energy to a certain level. And once you learn, if you're sensitive to seeing and feeling, you can figure out how it flows and stuff just by using different shapes and stuff, and what the impressions you get from the energy that flows off of certain shapes. Or you can use dowsing instruments, much like a pendulum, and check the effects with it, and learn the passive generators, much like the pyramid and other objects, and what you can do with them. There was a guy, Paul the Generators, back in the book of Secrets Behind the Iron Curtain. He built all kinds of generators where he could move them with his mind, and also he had one device that he didn't train it with energy, and it would kill houseflies in the house even. So those are passive generators, which he charged with his own body energy. So this is going to be the new science, and it's as much an art as a science, because it depends on your intuition and creativity more than having a formula or something to produce it with. So you might call it more, and it's more of an art form than it is a science, at least in the beginning, until we learn more about it, because we're using mostly the artistic and creative natures, you know, the side of the brain that's hardly used, what they call the feminine side, to discover these things. And of course, this energy has started changing since December 21st of 2012, and now we're getting out of the mainly masculine energy and going more into the feminine energy. These new arts and sciences will complement this new female form of energy real well.
So we have a large body of new science, and what seems to be happening in the world is that people are communicating over YouTube. They started off in forums, but it's kind of really taking up now. People are spreading these ideas, they're building devices, they're experimenting with them, and it's going back and forth. Do you follow any of these little of these kind of highways and byways on YouTube?
I've seen
how they're getting on. I don't know what the edge of the art is yet.
Well, most of them are just backyard tinkerers that wanted to see if they could build something, and you know, they talk among themselves, and come up with new ideas for configurations and everything else. You know, and a lot of that is by talking with others that are interested. And they're saying, well, I'm having this problem. I can only get it to this voltage or whatever. And did you try this, try that? And then all of a sudden by them asking if you tried this or tried that, you come up with a new concept. Maybe if I do this over here that just popped out of my mind, it could have been a memory from a past life or whatever. You never know. Or a future life. It could be just information that you're drawing in because you're working on a problem, and the more focus you give asking the right question gets you the right answer. You know, you're just recalling it. You've always had the information. You just didn't ask the question correctly before.
Well, it seems that the idea of enlightenment is to be able to ask the question. Because asking the question, in a way, that's what forms the solution.
Right.
And the question often happens as a very, from a very off-the-wall kind of stimulus. You know, you'll get this really odd stimulus that then promotes a question that then forces you to remember something that you already knew, like you said. So The questions are good. The questions are good.
Yeah, there's not a such thing as a dumb question, because any question can lead you to enlightenment. You know, it's the people that are afraid to ask the question that stay stuck in what they're stuck in. If you ask yourself the proper question, there can't be anything that can hold you back, because you will get answers if you keep focused on it. It'll come up, and you'll find new and novel ways to express yourself by asking these questions.
And that's the ascension process, because ascension is not anything really magical. It's just about having your understanding at a higher point than you had could, you know, be, this is the highest point you can get.
You could consider everything is mystical and magical, and that throws you in the proper state of mind where there is no ultimate problem, because if you ask the right question, you can always get the right answer. There's no limit. It's an open-ended system. It's that when we begin doubting ourselves and not asking the questions, or feel embarrassed to ask a question or something, that's what keeps us down. That's why they programmed us this way, to do everything by rote, and that unless you got a degree, you're not an authority, so you can't have the right answer. But it don't take an authority. Everyone's their own authority. It don't take a degree.
Yes.
All a degree shows that you've got more brainwashing than a normal person, which means that you're really in bad shape. Because your mind's so fixed, it's like an ice cube. It has no flow to it. You're stuck in one path. You can't go up the other paths and look around and see if you like them better, because you're so stuck into your own fixated prison that you made.
So that's begging the question, is what about people who are so stuck in their ways, whose minds are so crystallized that they're not going to be able to make the ascension jump just simply because they are holding on too tight.
They won't make it right away, but you ever notice what brings people out of that stuck condition is usually things like hurricanes, tornadoes, natural disasters where you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking to help the survivability of not only yourself, but the people around you, and it brings them back into heart consciousness, and it allows them to free themselves from their old programming.
So never let a good disaster go to waste, and it works for both sides as well, doesn't it?
Yes, you know, it works for
everybody
both
gets
sides.
Something out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, there's nothing everybody good wins. Or bad, you know, it's just what the soul needs sometimes. If you know, cracking an egg can be bad for the chicken sometimes. But you gotta remember that chicken that's growing in that egg has to crack it itself. Sometimes a little assistance is needed to crack that egg for the chicken.
Yeah, and you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs.
Right. And some people are so set they practically want God to come down and call them out on their shit. So, some will.
Personal.
Right. Well, it's like some of the ones that are in the know and are ascending will just come back and wake them up by using some of their abilities. You know, they'll shake them loose of their stuff. You know, it may frighten them for a moment or two. And they say, how can you do that? It's because I'm being the real me. You've got to be the real you, not what you think people should think you should be. It's very simple, you know. We go there, and once we learn something, we share it. And sometimes that sharing will upset a person first. They may rebel against it and stuff, but then they may see some things that will confound their mind, and they'll have to make a reassessment. If you do something that you shouldn't be able to do under third dimensional laws, like, say, levitating or whatever, or producing energy out of thin air, then they're going to have to reevaluate of every thought they had and realize that maybe someone didn't tell them what was true. So they may making a premise of their whole life on an untruth. Then they do a reassessment, and they have an ability to change after that point. But first, they got to be shocked out of their norm, so to speak.
So, a good disaster actually does people good, because it brings them together and causes them to become much more socially acceptable. Let's put it that way. So, in a way, humans need a kind of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
In order to grow.
And that's what the government's with all these things they're planning, it won't do them any good, because all they'll do is wake the people up. The people will realize that they're nothing. It's all built on a lie. And they'll begin to understand it. If it be the government attacking its own people, a lot of people go under assessment under those things. Some need a natural disaster. Some just need to know that school was, you know, things that, the way things done in school were very wrong, you know. Some of the kids nowadays, they can't get along with school, so what they do, they dope them up so they don't become enlightened. They give them these drugs for ADHS or whatever, you know, and they don't need it. They're just onto them. You know, they just know.
ADHS, is that a
or whatever.
Is that a delivery company that delivers everywhere?
It's attention deficit disorder and stuff like that. There's no such thing. But it is, they're calling them on their bull is what they're calling them on. And they say, well, we can't have this. We're going to have to drug them so they're not too, so they don't, cause much of a disturbance so we can program the rest if we don't even get to program these. Or they may find a drug that's strong enough to keep them, sort of tranquilized and at least looking compliant. But they're just fooling themselves because, you know, once you start doing things like that, it doesn't do any good. Because you're not going to cause the effect to do any good, because the people are going to rebel anyway. Look how rebellious that they were in the 60s, and all of a sudden they're getting more and more rebellious. And it's because of the way the people treat them. Not what they're teaching, it's how they're being treated.
And it's a reflection of the scale of how they're being mistreated as the scale of the protest response, let's put it that way. But they did this deliberately to start with, didn't they? So they're pushing for something, and they're pushing for us to behave in a particular way. But humans being humans have the ability to respond asymmetrically, originally, without, without reverting to Sun Tzu tactics, you know, to do something new and original every time. That's it's going to make us win.
Well, they're just helping us wake up, that's all. And they don't even realize it. Or they would change their function. They'd treat us nice and say, you shouldn't do that. No. And, you know, if they were treating you like a kind elderly person, then the person would probably feel ashamed of himself or something and revert back. But they don't, they're not looking in that direction. They say, well, if this don't work, we're going to force you into it. And all that force does is wake more people up.
Yeah, that's the upside of it all.
Yeah, well, it's an energy function of the yin and yang. You increase the darkness to the individual, and all it does is brighten up the other side. Because there's always with the yin and yang, there's always the imbalance that tries to seek balance. And the true balance is not moving back and forth from balance and imbalance, you know, from light or dark, but is to integrate both.
It's a bit like breathing. You don't breathe out all the time, and you don't breathe in all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And now the easiest thing, now I take the concept a little further. Now, if you want to end wars and stuff like that, you don't protest. That does no good. That's like shining the light. The darkness gets stronger because you're paying attention to them. You take the force out away from them totally. What you do, you feel the spots which are in turmoil, and you find that spot that exists in you, because everything external in your external world is nothing more than your mirror of what's happening inside you. And you go inside and you clear the emotions and stuff that brings those things about. And that causes a change. Now, when you bring up the, and integrate those feelings and stuff you have in relationship to what's happening in your external world, that gives you a chance to change the manifestation and say that this state is not your preferred state, that you would prefer this. You know, it'd be butterflies and unicorns. If you get what I'm talking about, and then all of a sudden these wars are nothing more than butterflies and unicorns. But that's all you have to do.
That's funny.
The true protester don't protest. He assumes responsibility for the external by going into the internal and integrating what's internally present that's causing the situation, so he can change the direction and make it into something else.
So let's talk about world peace. You know, my kids mm-hmm. would always ask me, what do you want for Christmas, Dad? And I would always have world peace, kids. And it became a kind of family joke, a sort of standing joke. So I don't know whether they'll be able to bring it to me this year. But this is, okay. This is something you've been talking about how do you create peace on earth, using, a piece of copper wire, an old broken radio, and a stereo amplifier. Away you go, Jay Larson.
Well, that's just the initiator, but the true work happens always internally. And that means for there to be peace on earth, there has to be peace inside you, no conflict. That means you've got to totally integrate your being. And now, the easiest way to get at a lot of those things is by looking at the mirror, which is all the external events. When you find something that upsets you, you go within and you integrate it. You remove the judgment, because everything is you anyway. So what you do is you embrace it, accept it for what it is, that it's part of you, and then you create a new direction for that, what you want in place of that. And if it be pretty things, the earth growing lush and vibrant, animals and stuff friendly and not afraid of humans, all these things, that's all it takes, is going within and using the external mirror to get to the internal stuff, and then integrating the internal stuff. And if everybody did this, war would stop very quickly. Governments would behave themselves. You would not have these banking syndicates and things like that, and people would become more compassionate with other people.
So there would be more like how people really are.
Well, yes. when I walk around, people smile because I, the energy I release around me affects everyone. Now they may not like the other person and may be in an argument and I'll walk up and all of a sudden everything's nice and rosy because I'm nice and rosy. And that's how it happens. Now if you do this on a mass scale, everything becomes nice and rosy and everybody's attitude and integration multiplies the factor. You know, where one or more get together in my name, things happen. It's basically that type of thing. The more that are on the same page, so to speak, the more influence that you have on your world. And it's not by standing out and protesting. It's by going within and resolving the conflict.
So, you get old transistor radio, right? And you rip out the aerial.
Mm-hmm.
And the aerial in an old transistor radio is a little piece of ferrite rod.
Mm-hmm.
About 8 millimeters in diameter and usually about, you know, 3 to 4 inches long. What you're doing is you're taking some quite heavy enameled wire. This is regular copper wire that you'd use in a transformer, but quite heavy. It's about 22 gauge or something?
Yeah, I use 22 gauge because it's a little thicker. So why I'm winding it, it has a tendency to set in place. Of course, I also use a hot glue gun, and I glue it as I'm doing it, so it has a tendency to hold in place too.
Are the pieces, are the, it doesn't really matter if they're insulated, does it? No, I keep thinking about the bare wire. But you could use insulated wire, couldn't you?
Yeah.
No, because wire is insulated with PVC.
Oh, well, it's insulated with plastic. It doesn't matter if it's plastic, insulated with plastic or varnish, it'll still throw off a magnetic field and an electromagnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
So a
scalar field?
You can take a wire that has plastic on it, you know, regular coated wire, and wrap it the same way and get the same effect. You don't have to get magnet wire. I just have a lot of magnet wire here, that's all. Because I have all kinds of projects I work on.
Right. Okay. So, are you using a particularly heavy, wire?
I use heavy wire.
It's not going to blow.
I use heavy wire because it's stiff and it holds, stays in place easier, but then I decided to glue it so it didn't matter in the first place. You can use very thin wire too. Since the scalar field is, when a scalar field is produced, it changes the draw of the coil on the amount of resistance the coil has anyway. Remember what I was telling you about what happens when scalar energy affects wires? It removes or reduces the resistance in a wire.
Yeah, but if you reduce the resistance in wire, wouldn't that increase the load on the amplifier?
No. See what you're doing, more resistance creates more of a load on the amplifier. See, the load is the amount of energy consumed. If it don't consume the energy, it just goes through the system. No heat's produced. See, all you're doing is you're creating a variable electrical field that moves like a wave. You're not producing current.
So it's a bit like, it's almost like you're riding a bicycle out of gear.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It feels like the sort of, you don't have the magnetic pull that causes you have to do loads of work.
Right.
And so your amplifiers are just going to be sort of like freewheeling, more or less.
Right. More or less, yeah.
Yeah.
Your
system is still actually producing energy, and this beam comes out of the front, the long end and the back end, front and
right.
back of this thing, and
right.
But you're saying that it's blocked by PVC or plastic or something like that?
No, polyethylene plastic, like sandwich bag plastic. You know, the same stuff they use for making, putting sandwiches in, sandwich bag. That's polyethylene plastic. And that's because of the molecular, the way the molecular structure of the plastic is, has a tendency to absorb the energy and not let it pass because of the chemical bonding in the plastic itself. But it's only polyethylene plastic has that effect. Other plastic it'll go through.
Right. Interesting.
The person that found out that thing was, you ever heard of Galen T. Romanus or whatever his name was? Made the Romanus machines. They're much like radionic devices. He was using one of his machines as a test where they put a sample in his machine of insecticide to kill insects and radiated at a bag full of caterpillars. And the bag was closed. It didn't have an effect on the caterpillars, but if the bag was open, it would kill the caterpillars. What it did was produced a scalar energy that went through the pesticide that was set to the frequency of the pesticide and radiated towards the bag. So when the bag was closed, it didn't have an effect on the caterpillars because the energy couldn't enter the bag. But once the bag was open, it killed the caterpillars. Same thing. It was basically a polyethylene bag, and that was back in the 1920s when this was done, when he built this device and was experimenting with it, even with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, I believe.
Interesting. So, we're about 20 minutes away. I don't know if anybody's got any questions in either of the chat rooms in Revolution Radio or Wolf Spirit Radio. To me, this has been a fascinating show. I'm really looking forward to receiving the unit once it crosses the pond. I'll be irradiating everything in sight, I think. Particularly my potatoes. My friend Paul, who I mentioned earlier, brought some vegetables round. He said they were courgettes.
Yeah.
They're the size of marrows. Three of them. They're like, you know, enough to feed three good meals for an enormous family. Maybe there's some scalar energy going on in the... Actually, maybe it's the radiation on the beach. Anyway, meanwhile... So... Can that scalar energy be used to, for instance, help with Fukushima or something like that?
Oh, yes, it would cause a change in the radioactive decay. Even, well, might that toxic ore gone through him, through the decomposition of radiation in some of his experiments. But orgone energy, scalar waves, will cause decomposition of radioactive materials at a faster rate. In other words, you go get a higher radioactive radiation count for a period of time, probably 30 or 40 days, and it'll drop down to almost zero.
And we're going to need that in the next, if there's going to be some planetary shifting and earthquakes and nuclear things and grid meltdowns and all of that stuff. If that's going on, we're going to need some of these devices.
We could build a Caduceus coil right around Fukushima, then pulse electrical field through it and evacuate everyone and wait 30 days or 40 days, and it'd be quite a difference. Shut the field off and there'd probably be very little radiation there.
Well, that'd be something to try, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, this is something that John Hutchison was talking about, using certain frequencies. Do you talk about how frequencies and scalar energy work? So, I mean, you're using audio frequencies into this Caduceus mm-hmm. coil. Now, Caduceus coil, very simply, is... it looks like the Caduceus symbol, which is a pole with two snakes. So it's basically like a kind of DNA helix kind of arrangement.
Yeah, the only difference is that on the bottom, both wires are connected. So it's like two snakes coming up from the same body and intertwining at certain points, and you could take the charges. Where the snake's heads are is basically your bare wires that you place the energy to, the electrical energy, the alternating field, because the rod to emit the scalar radiation. And Caduceus coil is basically the symbol for Mercury that was the messenger of the gods, which is a Q there, and also that it's also used for by doctors as the symbol for healing. So it's been well known for a long, long time. It's just that the ones who keep the information haven't been sharing it. They've been using it to their own advantage.
So they've encoded it as a symbol.
Right. But if you also notice that the Caduceus of Mercury also has wings on it, because the same type of energy can produce levitation, anti-gravity, or whatever you want to call it, as well as healing. You remember all these things? All this information has been passed off in picture form, basically from Atlantis.
That's
the remnants
right.
of the information.
I have experience of pyramids and levitation or at least levity. I was involved in a project for my teacher once, and I built a series. There was seven pyramids, about 9 inches aside, and they were connected together and strung up like a bow to make a sort of bow shape. And he described to me that he said that this is a Leviton generator, and I said, "Oh yeah, all right." But anyway, while I was building the thing, my wife came in and stepped right in front of it. Just, you know, it was in this garage, and you know, she stepped right in front of it, and suddenly, you know, completely spontaneously, I didn't say anything. She didn't say, "Oh, hello, what are you doing?" Just spontaneously, she said, "Wow, I feel like jumping for joy." And that's exactly what it does. So, yeah, I mean, I've had experience of this energy. And so, what they call torsion energy, you were talking earlier that its geometric forms actually produce a form of scalar energy by causing the flow of the naturally occurring chi to be changed in direction. Is that right?
In direction and speed. In other words, it allows for more flow or greater flow. I've done it by spinning, putting two north fields together, gluing them with super glue, then spinning them, and would cause the torsion field, and it has the same feel of it much as the scalar energy coming off the little device that I'm sending you. But the advantage of the scalar device is that it's a single frequency, and whereas the torsion device, it has all the frequencies moving, and you know, you're not sending one frequency, you're just opening the gate, so to speak, and the energy flowing out, and it's all different frequencies. There's no coherence to the frequency. But you can take you should be able to take a radio wave or whatever and pass it through that field and create a coherence. Because any wave pattern going through that field will cause a coherence in the field. So it will start producing that frequency that you send into it. Much like you can cause a coherence with your own thought patterns to affect the whole collective, so to speak. Much the same way. The stronger the coherence and the amount of energy going into that spin field will cause more and more coherence, which means that it'll add to the energy that you pumped into it, and that's how a lot of free energy is gotten. You're actually pumping energy to create a coherence in the zero point, and it comes back out as an energy gain many times over what you put into the field.
Fascinating. So we have we've got about 9 minutes left here, Jay, and it's been a fascinating conversation. I've learned a lot, and I hope that everybody listening has been learning a lot. Next week we're going to have astrologer Nancy Ogren on the show.
She's very good. During my day before my birthday, she was on, and during that full solar eclipse that we had, and I got my question in to my birthday and that, and I got it answered for me, and it was nice. said I was going to have a pretty good year. I feel waking and activating. Activation is a better word for it because it's not really waking. We've always been awake. We just had all these filters and stuff. Now we're removing the filters. It's more of an activation. You know, it's not that the people are asleep. They're just activating slower than other people. That's all. You know, you got to. There's no good or bad at all for you know people to choose their own pace and the speed they're going to. You know, but activation's a better word than a person being either awake or asleep. We're all activating. We're just, some of us are taking more time, and other of us like to race and see what's lying around the other side, so to speak. So there's no good or bad about it, you know. And people should get off the mindset that this person's asleep and this person's awake. The only one that can be awake is when you're truly your higher self. And if you're in the process of awakening, then you're basically in the process of activating yourself to your full potential. And it should be left at that. You know, it's a matter of mindsets. But I love Nancy. I watch her, listen to her program. Watch it because, you know, I'm watching the TV on my computer screen while I'm listening to it, so I'm watching the program.
The pictures are better.
Yeah. But she gives a very fascinating view of astrology and gives you know, they're just potentials. They can help you. There's not much of a hindrance. You may consider things may seem rough, but they're not. You gotta remember that the game of life wouldn't be fun to play if it was all easy. You'd get bored. You know, when things churn up a little bit, at least you have fun and excitement.
Yeah. It's all a matter of degree, isn't it?
Right.
Why did that go wrong?
Oh. You're right.
How intense the feelings are, you know. At one point it might be exciting, but you just turn it up a bit too much and it's like terrifying, you know.
You know, it's just like cooking your food, you know, it's just a matter of degree, how warm you want it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how well cooked it becomes, yeah. So, where are we, 51? We just got a couple of minutes left. Jay, do you have a website? Do you have, like, a little shop where people can order scalar devices from you? What's your state of commerce at the moment?
I have no state of commerce. Basically, I'm not in it to become a manufacturer, really. Even though I'm good at making them, you know, it's just something that I've made before, and I'm working on that now. I'll probably work on something else, but keep them available, and the people that are interested in selling can get a hold of me, and I got some I can send out to you if you want to sell them. But personally, I'm not really interested in just spending my life making scalar coils. You know, I'm an experimenter and dreamer, and who knows where my path is going to take me on my next move.
Excellent. So, thank you very, very much for coming on Journeys with Rebecca and Journeys with JP this evening. And I do wish you all the best. I hope your health springs back to how it should. And as you say, we're all healing very much more quickly emotionally as well. I find emotional healing as well is accelerated. So I wish everybody to have a wonderful weekend, and I'll be joining you back here on Monday at the same time slot with Journeys with JP, and also my own show on Wolf Spirit Radio, which is called Ever Beyond. My website is www.everbeyond.info, and if anybody wishes to contact any of my guests through me, you can call check me through at jp@everbeyond.info. That's the letter J and the letter P, jp@everbeyond.info. So thank you everybody for listening, and thank you very much, Kat, for giving our giving your attention. I hope you enjoyed that show. Are you with us, Kat? No, she's AFK or muted, possibly muted, because she does have a double mute there. Oh, there you are, sweetheart.
Yeah, she's there.
I'm sorry, I couldn't find the bottom of my headset because I put it aside when I'm producing. I just listen to you to make sure you're connected, so I couldn't find the bottom half of it. And
bless your heart, you're having a mute panic. Well, it's been lovely. Thank you very much. I hope everybody's enjoyed that, and I actually hope that everybody heard Jay a lot better than I did. I was having a bit of a choppy connection, but I hope that over your side it all came through on the main Skype called Wall to Wall. Am I right, or is that?
Well, it came out clearly to me. I heard him perfectly clear. It didn't sound like it was that bumpy or anything. So it should come out clear on the recording.
That's lovely. Excellent. Nice, so,
nice meeting you, Kat.
Nice to meet you also, Jay.
Okay, if you have any questions or anything, you got my Skype number now.
Mm-hmm.
You can just call in anytime you feel like it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I suppose we're waiting for the music, but it hasn't happened yet. We have another minute or two.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So we just, I could do a song.
Go ahead. You have a lovely voice.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. Actually, the only thing that I've got at the moment is this thing called Dadgad, which is, and it's like this Led Zeppelin song, you know. That was the, there's my music. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and thank you very much, Jay Larson, and Kat for producing. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye.